Welcome back, family. This week's guest is one of the greatest living guitarists in the world. He has played with either on tour or in sessions with some of the biggest names of the last 40 years of popular music. Only true fans may know his name, but everyone will know his sound. Tommy O has performed with, just to name a few, Janet Jackson, Michael Jackson, New Edition, TLC, Alexander O'Neill, and so many more. A seasoned veteran who took time out of his busy schedule to talk with us about his life and career and his goal to help new artists discover their path. He talks with us about his record label, how he got started, his passion for the business, and where he sees not only his company, but the industry going in the future. Truly a legend in his own time, we're so happy that he took time out of his schedule, and we're sure you're going to enjoy this one. Take a listen and let us know what you think. It's going to be a good one, y'all. So let's go. Welcome back, family. This week we have a guest who's a legend. I mean, I don't know how other way to put it. This man has been blessing the world with his musical talent for, I don't even want to give them hyperbole. How long has it been since you've been doing this thing?
Oh, man, I appreciate it, first of all. You know, I've been doing it, man. I started playing when I was about 5 years old. So right after high school, I jumped on tours and stuff, and it's been going on ever since.
See, I get so excited when I talk to people who I consider to be greats that I forgot to introduce you completely. I jumped right into the questions. So please tell everybody who you are and what you do, and I'll tell them why you're a legend.
Oh, okay. Well, first of all, my name is Tommy O, and I was the guitarist for Michael Jackson. This is the tour that was going to happen. And along with many, over 100 tours I've been on, basically with TLC, Usher, Tony Rich. I did the George Lopez show. I was in his house band, you know, Anastasia, Janet Jackson's Rhythm Nation tour, in the studio with Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis on a couple of albums, Tony Houston and Alexander O'Neill. And the list goes on, you know. So that's where I stand, you know?
Now, the legend part is, I don't know if you listen to the names, but that's some of the biggest names in pop and R&B history. And this man has been there for all the moments. You're a legend, yeah. Sir. Thank you for doing the podcast.
Oh, man, I appreciate you having me.
You said you discovered music, you said five, right?
Yeah. 5 years old. Yeah, I picked up the guitar and started playing it, you know, and enjoyed it and continued with it. And listened to a lot of top artists, guitar player, Hendrix, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Barry Carlton, Lee Rittenhouse, Sam Carr, bass players, B.B. King, Robin Trower, you know, Eric Mills, and continued to get better at what I was doing, you know. Thanks to those guys who paved the way for me to continue on and really enjoying playing my guitar.
So the guitar, you said that was the first thing you picked up. Did you have interest in any other music before that? Or once you saw that guitar, you knew this was what you were going to do with the rest of your life?
Yeah, I was kind of fascinated with the way it looked, you know, and my father played guitar and grandfather played sax for Duke Ellington and Dizzy Gillespie, and he showed me how to read and write music. Taught me to listen to like people like Quincy Jones, one of the greatest producers that ever lived, you know. And picked it up and just knew it was for me. So just continued to play, you know, and get better at it.
What was the moment that you would consider your first big break? The moment you moved from somebody who was talented to somebody who was an artist?
My first big break, it was Janet Jackson's tour in 90 and 91. The Rhythm Nation tour set my goals so high in respect to her for having me in the band. And yeah, that was the first big gig that I ever done, you know, because like I said before, you know, I give you a little breakdown, you know, right after high school, I jumped to Vesta Williams, then I jumped to Mickey Howard's tour, and then I moved up to New Edition and Bobby Brown, Johnny Gill's tour with BBD and Johnny Gill and Keith Sweat, and did that. And when the Rhythm Nation tour, matter of fact, I think the Rhythm Nation tour was before the BBD tour.
Mm-hmm.
So I hit that one and then jumped on to Johnny Gill and the Triple Threat tour. So Janet was most, is probably, I feel like that this was gonna, well, it actually did. It took me so far, man. It's almost like I had so much fun, man. I had too much fun on that. And I'll just leave that there, you know? Yeah, like that, you know?
So being a touring artist is different from being a session artist. You did a lot of tours right out of high school. Were you prepared for life on the road?
Yeah. You know, I kind of say that it was a God-given thing. He created me to first of all, be able to recognize who I am when it came to music and my instrument, you know, for me to just pick the guitar up and start playing it at 5 years old, you know, it was kind of amazing for everyone, you know, and getting notes and stuff, making sound, you know, making it sound like, you know, it's supposed to sound, you know, I didn't really struggle with it, you know what I mean? So I recognized that, and I recognized, you know, I'm gonna have to get better. It's just everything fell all in play without me even having to second guess it. It was just bam. And then I was always around older people, you know, and they taught me things, you know, that I didn't know. And I took that and made it my own thing. You know what I mean? I took their advice, you know, and then get it my way, you know what I mean? So I appreciate the older cats and older musicians that really taught me how to stay focused and learn from some of the great. You know what I mean? And then, like I say, I took that knowledge and applied it to how I felt about it, and it came out the way it came out. And then, you know, for the rest of my journey, you know, even like in high school, I was in the jazz band. I was around some older cats, man, and they would let me in and let me play with them and stuff, you know. So I learned from them, you know, got better like that. And then I would listen to some of the things that some of the musicians that they listened to. And I get it from, you know, learn from them, and then just went on and went on with it. And at the end of the day, you know, when the tours came up, I was just so excited to be doing what I've always dreamed of doing, where, you know, it wasn't that hard for me, you know what I mean? And then as time went on, you know, I knew how to pack my luggage, you know, and then went on and went on. So it was just a natural thing, man. It's like everything about being in this industry, I do. I just love it, you know, good or bad. So I make my through anything, you know what I mean? And it's just like I was built for it, you know what I mean?
Well, how long did it take for you to establish yourself as kind of a go-to person for touring?
I came back probably like when I was 22, you know what I mean? Playing at the Roxy with my band Tease. I was in a band called Tease, you know, and we were signed to RCA. We had some singles out then. We moved to Epic Records, and then we had a top 10 single called Firestarter out there. And so, you know, and then being around people that I trusted, you know what I mean, kind of made it a lot easier for me.
So during that time, what stands out as like the highlight? What do you remember most about that time?
Just the recognition, and, you know, being called on the phone or being asked while I'm doing like a local gig in L.A., you know, Jimmy Jam and Terry came up to me, you know, playing on some Alexander O'Neill album. You know, that was really a highlight for me, man. I admired Jimmy Jam and Terry and him, and he just happened to be at this local gig that we were doing outside. And after we was done, they pulled me to the side. I was like, hey, man, we'd like you to play with us. I was like, oh, man, yeah, for sure. And then after that, kept going. And then I became like, you know, a studio musician even more, although I was doing studio sessions even when I was younger. My brother would take me with him, hook me up with little sessions and studio gigs, you know what I'm saying? He just said, I got a brother that played guitar, so he'll bring me along. So I got a lot of knowledge on how to react and create in the studio. You know, I've always been blessed to have help. You know what I mean? And people, you know, and that's why it pays to, like, do the best that you can and be the best that you can in what you're doing, because at that point, other people can recognize it that's of the best. You know, and with God's will, they'll connect with you, you know.
Mm. The music from then, there was just like that funky bass line that was always in there, and that so much comes from the guitar. You were shaping music for the next generation. Did you realize that at the time?
No, I did not. No, I did not. You know, it's amazing, man. It's really amazing, because it's like a lot of people that I never knew that admired my plan or was into what I was doing, you know. And that goes for everybody. You just got to do your best all the time and know in your heart that you're good at what you do, because you may not ever see people that really admire you. My point is, you never know who's out there checking you out and really admires you. You'll never meet them, you know, but in time you'll meet a few, you know, and, hey man. And it's like, oh wow, I didn't know that. I didn't know I inspired this person. I don't know I inspired that person. I mean, these are some people that came up maybe a little bit after me, but checked out what I was doing. And I didn't know they was checking out. These are people that got hits out here. You know what I'm saying? Hits out there. You know what I mean? And when I see them, they like, no, I learned from you. And it's like, what? Really? Okay. But I guess you passed the baton, you know.
That's got to feel good.
Man, it feels great, man. You know, it's just another additive to the life, you know.
Nah. What was the next, I guess, the next stop in your journey from those early days touring?
The next stop at the end of the day was Michael. You know what I mean? That was like the all-time high. You know what I'm saying? Mm. That was the all-time high. You know, and
so that was a natural extension of the Janet tours?
No, it came later on. It came later on. I had did many other tours after the Rhythm Nation tour, and then, you know, Michael came along, and I auditioned for him, you know, and that's what I was. So there I was, you know what I mean, getting ready to do my thing, and it was an honor, you know. It was the best moments of my whole career, you know. So I can't be mad at none of it, you know what I mean? Like, it has advanced my horizons to figure out other things that I'm capable of in the business, you know, because there's so many things you can do in the music business, you know. And so, like, I have my own record label out now called Artistic Records. And for those who want to come join us and join the movement, you know, I'll give you my info at the end of the interview, you know.
I think it's cool that you mentioned early on that you were really inspired by Quincy Jones, and then you suddenly had the opportunity to play some of his most iconic music and go on tour and do it worldwide with one of the best to ever do it. Like, that had to be surreal.
Yeah, man, it's like it's really surreal, man. It's amazing how, and I mean, I got hit to Quincy Jones when I was like 6-7 years old, you know what I mean? And I had met Quincy Jones and Michael up at Westlake Studios years ago with my manager that was working with my group, Tease, my manager took us over to the studio to meet him. So I had met him and everything, you know, and it was like really brief, you know. And it was like, wow, you know, it's just, it's surreal, man. It's like, and when I look back at it, it's kind of like dreams do come true, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know.
You mentioned that you have your record label now, and
yes,
you're kind of in the business of breaking acts, you know, helping people make their dreams a reality.
Right.
When did you decide that that was something that you felt like you had to do?
Well, I had been thinking about it for years, man. You know, years at least. I would say around 5 or 6 years, thinking about it. In the meantime, I was putting my own songs out. I have 3 singles out on iTunes and Amazon. We'll get to that. But what was the question again? I decided because, man, I looked at it like this. It's like, I just want to give back in some kind of way. You know what I mean? Because, you know, I'm a successful man, you know, so it's like that's just my way of giving back and helping somebody else to achieve their dreams. You know what I mean? And go about it in the right way and do things a little bit different than what is usually done to these artists. You know what I mean? Because like I said, I was once an artist, too. And so I know a lot about the business. I've paid attention about with things in the business industry. So I can help, you know, bring people up and getting songs out and just developing them and, you know, getting them together, man, and just treating them right, man. You know what I mean? And give them as much as I can. You know what I mean? I feel that I have to offer. You know what I mean? You know, because it's easy for me, you know what I mean? I'm established already, you know what I mean? I just want to help somebody, you know what I mean? That's basically it, you know, and that's the best way I can describe it, you know.
What kind of artists can we expect from Artistic?
We like good entertainment, good music. You know, we got we're looking for a singer-songwriter. Poetic kind of vibes, or a little rap, a little pop, a little rock, a little R&B. You know, if it's good, then I can work with it. You know what I mean? Radio friendly tunes. You know what I mean? Not too much cussing. You know what I mean? But yeah, you know, especially for the rap side. You know what I'm saying? The rap side. I produced a lot of underground rappers back in the day. And that's cool, but, you know, and I don't have nothing against underground, but, you know, I'm so much. I used to be a DJ, like, when I was in high school, so I used to play hits and pick hits out before, like, they were even possibly out already. So, I mean, I got a good ear for that, I feel. So, it's like, I got a nice ear for hit songs. So, you know, when I hear it, you know, it, like I say, radio-friendly is where I'm at. If it's radio-friendly, we can go, you know.
So you mentioned something there that we haven't even touched on. You're a producer as well. When did you pick that up?
I started producing probably like in the 80s, man. Mid 80s, I started producing. You know, I wrote stuff for the Watts Gangsters. You know, there was a rap group. And Watts, out of Watts, and then I produced a song on Wayman Tisdale's album, God Bless Him, He Passed. And many others, you know what I mean? Like, going way back, but yeah, man, you know, I was like, yeah, okay, I'm getting there, so just moved on. So now I'm doing the same thing, you know, me and my son, and we produce my tracks and stuff, you know, and we putting them out there, man. You know, I mix the tunes, I master the tunes, you know, take the artist to a premium studio, you know, get that done on the best of mics, you know, got a video cast, you know, my team do great videos, you know, and so forth and so forth. So, yeah.
Do you find that being a musician for all these years has helped your production work?
I guess in a sense, you know what I mean? Because I'm always observing. I'm always paying attention to wherever I'm at. I'm learning something, you know what I mean? So I guess it contributed to it, yes.
So, okay, you're doing production, writing, touring. I assume you're still gigging.
Yes.
When do you find time for anything else? When does life happen?
Well, you know, I got a heck of a team with me, man, and they believe in what I'm doing, man. So when I'm gone, man, they take care of everything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We'll Skype each other, they'll ask me questions or whatever. And when I get back, I get to work. You know what I mean? But they handle everything until I get back, you know. Like if I'm overseas in Germany, you know, and this just happened a couple of weeks ago. If I'm in Germany, I'll when we take a break, you know what I mean? It'd be like two shows, you know, maybe three at the most a week. If I'm off the weekend, I fly back, handle what I got to do, go right back, go to the gig, you know, and thank God for the energy. Yeah.
I always love to talk to the guys who were there during those. Yeah. I mean, I would say from probably 81 to 95 might have been the golden era of like creativity. And I know everybody feels like their generation had it best, but like,
sure.
The amount of just timeless, lasting music from like 80 to 97, it's crazy. And you were there for it. Like, but now the whole thing has changed. The system of getting and buying music and putting out music, it's all changed.
Yeah.
What's the biggest difference?
The biggest difference is that before, I put it to you this way, before an artist such as myself back in the day, we'd go into the record company, major record company, play a cassette, give them the pictures. If they like it, we sign. You see, they'll give us a $100 budget to go in the studio and do whatever we need with the money. Okay. Nowadays, social media is really the main market of how it goes. Now, the artists have to take and invest in themselves and trust that the team of the record label will take that money and give them the best that they can give them, as far as distribution, as far as using all the tools that they have to get them as far as that company can get them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And basically, it's been changed. No one's giving anybody anything. You know, it's like I say, it's like you got to invest in your own self, you know. And like, we willing to work with people, you know what I mean, on what they have, you know what I mean? So it's like, that's the thing, social media and views, because record companies look at views now on YouTube and look at these different things in social media, and then they'll come to you. You don't have to go to them, but you have to have your views up, you have to have your followers up, and then it can go where, no telling. You know what I mean? But you got to do, the artist got to put in work now.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing, or it's just a thing?
I think it's a good thing. You know what I mean? It's like I adjust to what's going on. And I think that's what's keeping me in the game, and you know, as long as that I've been in it, because it's like I adjust to what's going on. I mean, whether I agree with it, you know, that's one thing. But if that's what it is, then I'm trying to research it out. I'm trying to research it and find out, okay, well, what is it? And then if that's what it is, then we can go with it. You know what I mean? I ain't got no problem with it.
I heard an artist the other day say, the artists who don't make it are the ones who are happy that they got signed or that they got a gig. But the artists who have longevity and who have lasting impact are the ones who see getting signed or getting that advance or whatever as the beginning of the work. I think that speaks to why you're still who you are, because you've been doing this for a long time and you've been doing it at a high level. And it, and part of it, it seems to be, is that you just keep grinding.
Yeah, basically. And not, you know, judging what it is today. You know what I mean? It's what it is. And it's going to keep changing. So, you know, I'm just trying to get with it, man. Learn it. You know what I mean? Be grateful, you know, about it, and just keep pushing, man. You know, that's all. That's all it is. No big deal. You know what I mean? Because otherwise, you're fighting yourself. You're fighting a losing battle.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Let's talk about now and next. What's going on with the music? I know you said you had a couple projects out.
Give me more followers and views, you know. So, yeah.
And they go to the website, or they can find it on iTunes, Spotify.
You can find me on over 250 streaming stores: Xbox, Reverb Nation, iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, YouTube, whatever's out there. You know what I mean? I put it out there. You know. And then, like I say, shortly I'll be doing a video. Shortly after that, and this is the things that I'll be doing for my artists. You know what I mean? You know. So, you know, it's all about following direction. You know what I mean?
Right.
If you follow directions over here, it'd be a lot easier for you. You know, for the artist to be to as far as I can take them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And if I got that demo that I want to get to you, how do I do that?
So if you want to get the In the Dark demo?
No. Like if I'm over here and I got me and my boys and we got that jam and we know that we're going to be the next ones, how do I get in contact with you?
Oh, you just go to artisticrecords.com.
And where can they come out to see you? Because I know you said you're going on tour.
Yeah, well, I'll be everything I'm doing right now is overseas.
Okay.
So I'll be going overseas, but I always let all my fans know, like on Instagram, that's Tommy O. Dennis, Artistic Records CEO. That's my Instagram page. Once again, Artistic Records CEO. And so I'll post and stuff and let everybody know that I'm coming to their town, or if I'm coming to your town, please stop through, you know, and stuff like that. So that's the work that people have to do, you know what I mean? Whether you like Instagram or Facebook or not, if you're an artist, you're going to have to put stuff on there and post stuff, you know, and build a following.
So what's the future hold? Where do you see yourself a few years down the road?
Man, a few years down the road, I'm going to be probably going on vacations wherever I want to, man, and staying at home, chilling, man, you know what I mean, and taking care of my loved ones, you know what I mean, swimming pool in the back house in the back, studio room, everything that I think I need that's going to ground me and keep me home will be at my home, and that's what I'm working for, so I can just relax.
That sounds beautiful.
I pretty much know I'll always pick up the guitar and play it or whatever, but, you know, my main focus now, and also just get this record company going. Hey, man, it's in God's hands. You know how it is. You know, but you got a lot of stuff still going, so I'm grateful, and I'm glad to have my health enough to keep on doing this thing, man. So, you know, that's my dreams, but no telling. It could be even bigger. I don't know. You know what I mean? Those are some of the things.
Definitely wish you much success.
I appreciate it.
Having seen you over the years, I really appreciate it. I'm one of them cats that loves to watch the people who are off to the side getting it done, like the guitarists, the drummers. Just like I'm the one who pauses the video and isolates on the person in the background, really killing it.
Well, you know, thank you, man. I appreciate people like you.
Hey, man, y'all are the ones who are making that music so potent and everlasting that, I mean, you got to be celebrated.
Oh, man, appreciate it, man. I'm really grateful, man. I thank you for recognizing that, man. And, man, I'm lost for words, man. It's like, just thank you, man. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Definitely want to thank the legendary Tommy O for stopping by and sharing with us his journey and his views on where the entertainment industry is now. Check him out. Check out his record label. Remember, he said that you could send in your demos, so definitely do that. Please remember, family, we do everything we can to make sure that you guys are satisfied with the entertainment we're providing. So let us know how we're doing. Leave us a comment at viewfromthestoop.com or check us out on Instagram at BrownstoneMG or on Facebook. Also, we're on SoundCloud, and don't forget the Spotify Brownstone Media Group Top 10 Plus 2. Until next time, family, love.